In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Week by week we follow the lectionary, which gives us a disciplined way of going through the Bible. It makes certain that we don't just focus on the good bits and avoid the difficult bits. But what it does throw up from time to time is the truly baffling, and this week's Gospel is certainly one of those. We're told not to be afraid of anything. We're told that Jesus didn't come to bring peace. And we're told that families will internally battle one another. And if this was the first time that you were exposed to the Gospel, you'd be confused to say the least. What you might have thought was meant to be all about love appears to be about, well, fear. But the Bible is eternally rooted in God, whilst also acknowledging what the world is like. None of it is mere escapism, and in this case Jesus is saying, I know what the world is like. And as we know at the moment, the world can be uncompromising, it can be difficult, and it can be a lonely place. When Jesus says, I know what the world is like, he's probably thinking that the world is populated with a lot of fear. Because is there any more pervasive or powerful motivating force in human experience? As Jesus would know, from the moment we are born, we learn to fear the world around us, certainly to fear strangers, sometimes to fear even those who are closest to us. Political leaders have long recognised the power of fear in ensuring conformity to the structures of this world, even when doing so does not serve our best interests. Fear is the driving force behind many segments of our economy. We've heard long before COVID about things killing 99% of all germs. And of course, we want to kill 99% of all germs, because what might they do to our families? But Jesus recognises that fear will also cause the failure of discipleship. Jesus' disciples courageously leave the security of their homes and families to follow him as they proclaim the advent of God's reign. But they too will know and ultimately bow before the power of fear. And we know that from the story of Easter. Faithful proclamation and practice of the gospel inevitably puts disciples on a collision course with the powers of this world. So as Jesus prepares his disciples for their mission to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he is starkly realistic about the threats they will face. At the same time, he builds the case for why they should not let this fear master them or hinder their witness. Why does Jesus highlight the horrors that await the disciples? Naming aloud the suffering to be endured and its causes is the first step in freeing them from the tenacious grip of fear. Jesus is saying that when we start to name our fears, when we trust God to act, our fears, whatever they are, begin to reduce. And whatever our fears are, we all need to do some of that from time to time, and probably especially at the moment. And in a world that often seems to be inundated by fear, it's something we deeply need to hear as Jesus again and again reinforces, do not fear. But Jesus doesn't hide from the fact that as disciples, being part of something countercultural brings problems. Let's remember, it wasn't too long ago that behind the Iron Curtain, Children were encouraged to betray their parents' religious activities to the authorities. But the thing is, for all disciples, our simplicity, our vulnerability, and dependence on God demonstrate the reality of God's presence and character in the face of the world's claims to possess real power. And that is unsettling to many. Because if you respond to this, you have to change. And many people would rather not change. It's a radical idea. Now, you're probably not feeling all that radical at this time on a Sunday, or whatever day indeed you are listening to this. But putting Christ first in our lives is a radical act. It's the act that makes us help the poor. It's the act that makes us work with compassion for our brothers and sisters that we don't know. It's the act that makes each one of us the best me we can possibly be. And it's the act that transforms a world of fear by sharing the overflowing love of God with everyone. It's such a power as that within each one of us through the Spirit. It's no wonder Jesus says we shouldn't be afraid. So if you are feeling in some way uncertain, if there's an amount of trepidation in your hearts and minds at the moment, maybe just relax into God for a moment and see what might happen. It might sound easy, it might sound difficult, but stilling ourselves before God is a challenging thing to do and often takes us a long time to calm our minds. This having no fear because we're close to God is an intimate relationship that has no parallels in human experience. It's the place we can go to share our deepest fears and desires with complete confidence. We all have those that we go to share things. It could be a parent, could be a partner. It could be a best friend, a brother or sister. They're the sort of people who instinctively understand us. But for disciples, the relationship with God goes far beyond this. Literally, God knows the very hairs of our heads, and they're all numbered. Well, I'm glad it's head at least, because as I get older, there are less hairs on the top, as they seem to make their way to my nose and to my ears. When we follow Christ, he becomes at the core of our being and informs, or indeed transforms, all that we do. It's as though we were sticks of rock. Written through us is the phrase, practicing Christian. And we know that practice makes perfect. So we're not to be afraid of anything we see going on in the world. We are witnesses to hope. And the world badly needs us. Amen.
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you? Self behind if I but call your name. Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare should your life attract or scare? Will you answer prayer in you and you in me? Will you let the blinded see if I but call your name? Will you set the prisoners free and never be the same? Will you kiss the leper clean and do such as this unseen and admit to what I mean in you and you in me? Call your name. Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me? Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never in your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you.